find out there's not going to be any women in heaven, right? So I'll read to you why. It says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Come on, that was funny. Nobody? I thought it was hilarious. Whatever. Here's Steve for some announcements.
Amen. All right. Good to see everybody this evening. How you are? Connect card. In the seat back in front of you, there is a connect card. If you haven't filled one out, I'm holding it up like this is a connect card. It's not. Pay no attention. Fill one out if you haven't for a while. Give us your praise reports and your prayer requests. The masks, the sanitizer station is still out there in front if you would like to avail yourself of that. This Sunday night is the first Sunday, so we are going to have the Bible prayer class. If you haven't attended yet and would like to, please see them at the information station about a book and come, because it's good. It's real good. And along those same lines, we have a reading plan. This is a one-year reading plan. Sometimes just picking up the Bible if you haven't read it for a while or it's not your habit or practice. This is a very good way. I'll hold it up. This I can hold up, see? It's a very good way to kind of get into the habit of reading the Bible. And this gives you a couple of different ways to go. So you can read just the New Testament. You can read the Old and New Testament together. So it's very, very beneficial. SIA, March 14th, Seniors in Action. This is a 50-plus fellowship, fellowshipping and food. Bring a dish to share. Matthew 11:12b. Violent, take it by force. That's a good scripture. That's an interesting concept, so you'll enjoy that. And I assume there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Yes, sign up at the information station, so please do that. Whenever we say that there's a sign-up sheet, please sign up. It just makes the people that are planning things and putting things together, it makes it easier on them. So, yeah. Hey, we have an extravaganza coming. Brother Clinton was telling me that we had three of them last year. We had three different extravaganzas. I can only remember the one, but we love the word extravaganza. At least him and I love the word extravaganza. It's fun to say. Everybody say it. Extravaganza! Isn't that fun? And it's going to be fun. Saturday, March the 19th, we're going to meet here. There is a sign-up sheet in the back, so please sign up. They're going to feed us, too. We're going to kind of clean up the church. We've got some things. Pastor Ricky has some specific things he wants done, and then we're going to do some general things. So come and give back to the building that is all yours, you, the church. So then now we have coming up the Women's Essentials Conference. This is April 29th through 30th. The fundraiser that we did for the family business meeting is going towards that. Sign up. It says sign up for more info. I don't know if there's a sign-up sheet in the back. I believe there is. But there is. Excellent. Thank you, Miss Tiana. Also, you can talk to Miss Lisa if you need more information about that. And then we have a billboard. Ta-da! Isn't that cool? Very cool. I think it looks great. That's an awesome picture. We're a Spirit Life Church where children matter. It goes up on the 7th of this month. Yes. Okay. You know what? I don't want to assume. It goes up on the 7th of this month and it went away. It went away from there. Oh, there it is back. Woo! Okay. Quick reminder. Don't throw it, Stephen. Magnets, this has the QR code on it for giving. Sometimes at home, my wife will say, did you tithe? No, did you tithe? Oh, we need to tithe real fast. So you can use the QR code that gets you access to the giving portal. And it goes on your refrigerator. It's really cool. And then also, don't forget the pay it forward cards. Again, if you have any time you want to do something nice for somebody, you can put a scripture on the back. You can put a little note that kind of uplifts people, edify them. It's kind of a good little thing to do. Sometimes it's hard to go face to face and do something nice for somebody. And then if you're kind of, I know I get awkward sometimes, but if I can do a little card and say, here, then I don't have to talk. So, plus, it talks about Spirit Life Church on the back. They'll want to know why you're so nice, and this is why. Okay? So, excellent. Have I missed anything, anybody? Yes, sir. Oh, men's group, yes. When? The 26th. You want to? You come up, yeah. Instead of you yelling at me and I yell at them, and, you know. Sometime. Thank you.
Okay, men's group, the 26th, which is a Saturday. We're going to assemble here. We're going to go for a UTV ride up to Secret Pass. Can't tell you where it is because it's a... That's why I like Spirit Life Church. You guys catch on quick. So there is a sign-up sheet in the back, which is very important because we are trying to get every seat for every cheek. Okay? So see what we did there, Steve? So I really need you guys to sign up. If you have a UTV and you don't mind bringing it, we are probably going to need it. But we're going to meet here at 9, assemble here at 9, and we're going to take off by 9. So if you need to be here about 8:30-ish, because remember what Pastor Ricky says, if you're not here 15 minutes before, you're late. Bring a lunch, bring your water, your drinks, whatever you want, your snacks. Prepare to have a good time. That is all.
Hey, man, it's going to be fun. We did this a number of years ago, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah. You ready to give? Woo-hoo!
So I have to make an announcement tonight. I was going out to Mojave Valley. My truck said it was 90 degrees today. Had to put on the air conditioning, so that officially signals summer. Okay, summer is here. Okay.
You have what you say, sir.
Thank you. I have what I say. Praise God. The wind is gone. The heat is here. Bless God. I have what I say. That should be my whole tithing thing, right? We have what we say, right? Thank you, Pastor. You should talk to me more often when I'm up here. You know, when Chelsea talks to me, she gives me the cut sign, you know, and I have no idea what that means, you know. And then it always appears like Ricky's reaching into the back for his gun or something. I don't know, you know. Anyhow. Oh, I don't even know why I went there. Okay, so the other day I read these scriptures, and I began thinking a thought. And so I'm in 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 10, and I'm in the NIV. And it says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." And the thought that struck me when I read this the other day is, do you know this is God's plan to meet the needs in the body of Christ?
Yes.
So what's God's plan to meet the needs in the body of Christ? It's very simple. You tithe, you sow the seed, God blesses you so that you can turn around and be generous to those in need, right? So let's just say something real quick. There is this fantasy in Christianity that humility means being poor, right? And we've all heard that for years. Well, if you're humble, you'll be poor. So who in the world is going to meet the needs if all of us are humble and poor? That's what I want to know. Okay? Who's going to pay for air conditioners in this building if all of us are humble and we're all poor?
Yeah. Amen.
You know, isn't that the biggest perversion of the Word of God that there is today? When did humility and poverty become synonymous terms? I don't know, but it's happened a long time ago, because ever since I was a Christian, it's been preached to me. Well, if you're humble, you're poor. I like to think I'm a little bit humble and lovable. I'm not poor. Yeah. The fact is, if we will be made rich in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion, then that means we have to be made rich in every way, right? And that means that we have to apply ourselves to what the Bible says about giving, about tithing, about planting seed, right? It says above this, remember he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Let's not be those people. Okay, let's not be the sparingly people. Let's be the people who are rich because we know how to give, because we know how to plant seed, and we know how to get the benefit of that seed. You know, I just thought, you know, in every church, there are little needs, there are medium needs, and there are big needs. Amen. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, somebody who's got money will meet that big need. You know what? You should have money. I should have money. We all should have money because we're all being obedient to sowing and reaping, right? It shouldn't be just a rich person. It should be all of us are rich people. Okay? That doesn't mean we're not Christians or we're not dedicated or we're not serving God. It means that we know the principles in the Bible and we're taking advantage of those principles in our lives. That we understand, just like God said to Mary, that with God nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God, no word from God is ever without power or impossible of fulfillment. And that's what we believe, isn't it? Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that your plan for meeting every single need is us reaping and sowing, God. Just minister this to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I forgot to mention one announcement is the ACs, it was $16,000 to do that. There's a gentleman here at church came up to me and they gave us another quote and it's a lot less and they're going to replace all the drain pans. They're going to replace drain pans for the ACs because those have leaked on us a few times and they're beat up looking. And then they're going to fix some duct work that's not even connected that we didn't even know about, and it's only going to be $11,000. Amen. So hallelujah. So $11,000 and we're going to get this done. Amen.
Am I on? I'm on. Man, so Earl,
yes.
You're absolutely correct. Humility, right? That's where we get humble from, right? Humility is just knowing your source, not having a false sense of self, being easy in your mind, right? Do you know the word for poor in the Bible? Meager. That's a bad word, meager. That's like, man, I don't want to be meager, right? That's just not good. That means poor, thin, destitute. Man, how many of y'all remember the tidbit from last week? Took a little trip to a meadow. Glory to God. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right after it. Father God, thank you for this time. Lord God, I ask that you would just use me tonight to bring forth the word that you have for this congregation, that it would affect hearts, change minds, just make lives better, Lord God. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If we could, can we go to the Psalm 91 really quick, please? And I'd like to see that in the Passion. Again, we're going to take an exercise in meditation really quick. If you would, please close your eyes with me. Well, I'm not going to close my eyes, but close your eyes for me. And listen to these words. When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from the false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by day, night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil be launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands of being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends his angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you loved me, delighted in me, and have been loyal to my name, I will greatly protect you. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. And you will feel my presence in your time of trouble. I will deliver you, bring you honor. I will satisfy you with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Thank you, God. Biblical meditation is just that. Taking a moment and escaping to God. When we meditate, in the Bible, it's basically, like I said last week, it has three definitions. Mutter and ponder. Muttering is simply speaking. It's always having it in your mouth. Always saying it. So when we look at the Word of God, and I say, you know what? I abide under the shadow of the Most High, or under the shadow of Shaddai. I live in God's shadow. When I can picture myself in the arms of the Lord, that comfort and that peace, that you can't get past it. But it takes time. It takes a willingness and a heart and a desire to get into the presence of God. When I pray, usually when I pray to open the service, I always say, as we enter your throne room. Because as we begin to worship God, and as we begin to pour out our heart to God, our voices take us right into the throne room of God. Right there, our sacrifice, that is a living sacrifice, as we're pouring out our hearts to him in worship and adoration. We are taking ourselves in a spiritual sense before the throne of God and laying it all on the table. Many of us, and myself included at times, that's the only time we do that. It shouldn't be. There should be time every day that you put aside, that you're on your face before God, you're reading the Word, you're worshiping God, and not just in your car. It's kind of easy in your car, nobody can hear you, right? The window's up, and you're rocking out. People look at you, go, man, that person's crazy, but you're just enjoying the presence of God, right? But there needs to be a time where you clear your mind of everything else but God. Outside of your family, outside of the dog, outside of whatever it is, whatever is takes your attention away from the Word needs to be put away completely and totally cast to the side, so that you can enter into the secret place of the Most High and experience the comfort and the peace that the Holy Spirit offers as you get into the throne room. It should be our desire and the strength that we draw. Matthew 6:6. I'm just going to stay in the Passion because it's here. It says, "But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God. Praying to Him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly." There's something to be said about that secret time, that quiet time before the Lord. If you've not experienced it, if you're like, "Well, I'm a baby Christian, I really haven't done this, I really wouldn't know where to start." It starts with just taking a moment, going into your bedroom, without any outside, leave your phone, get yourself a paper Bible, so that when it's time for you to get into the Most High, that you could just open the Word of God and not have a notification or an alarm go off or anything like that, because I've been there. You start studying and you're having a good time in the Lord and a notification goes off. You go to clear it, right? You push you swipe up. You don't want, you're in the place with God. But somehow the devil made your finger stick and it opens the notification. Now you're on Facebook for 45 minutes and you're late getting somewhere. Let's be honest, right? If we're honest with each other, that's what we do. And it really is, a lot of times we really were swiping up to get rid of the notification. But once it opens, it's like a can of worms, right? So have yourself a paper Bible to make it so that you can really have that meditation time with God. Pondering, right? Muttering, speaking, kind of the same thing. Pondering, though, is really to have deep thought on a subject. It's a time of reflection. And that's what I think we as Christians need to do more. Now, in order to, we do need to mutter and speak the Word of God, but we really need to get into the Word and see what it is that God has for us. Brother Earl's word on giving, that is truly from pondering the Word of God. That is from deep meditation. Where, because you can open the Bible and you can get something, but when you look at something, you're like, "Wow, hold on a second. Huh." And then now you start to mutter because you've pondered it for a minute, and you're just going, "Gosh." My favorite one was where "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. Yes, there you go. So we have that, right? And I started thinking about that one day, and I remember I text Pastor Ricky. This is a couple houses or one house ago, years back, and I was struggling with prosperity. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I struggled very, very much with prosperity. I didn't believe it. You can keep it. It's not in the Bible. So I had the wrong mentality. It's none of those things. It's true, and it's in the Bible. Okay. But I started pondering. I started meditating on that. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. At the time, I could barely make rent on my tiny, well, I didn't have a tiny house, but it was broke down house. I could barely pay rent there. and I got a killer deal. But I started thinking about that. I'm like, according to his riches and glory, well, would God live in a 3-bedroom? Probably not. God would probably live in a mansion. God created everything. He might even live in a castle. If his footstool is like the hills or something like that. Huh. And he's going to provide for me according to my riches and glory in Christ? No. According to whose riches and glory in Christ? His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So if God's going to provide for me according to his riches and glory, why am I worried about a $700 rent payment? That's what I don't know exactly how I texted the Pastor Ricky, but I texted him that scripture and I was like, I got it. Right? And that's what pondering will do. Will open the word. God gave you a promise. So when you'll sit there and you'll think about it, you're not rewriting the scripture to fit your needs. It's not a buffet. But God said certain things in the word, and he said it to you. He made a promise to you because you said, I'm going to follow you. And he said, you're going to follow me, I'm going to prosper you. You're going to follow me, I'm going to heal you. You're going to follow me, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to shelter you. Not only am I going to take care of you, but I'll take care of your family. So, pondering and getting into the Word of God, actually getting behind it and going, you know what? What does this mean? And thinking about it. Not self-reflection. That's the world's form of meditation. The world wants to tell you, you need to focus on your inner self. You need to find yourself. Are you serious? Myself's a mess. Hot mess at times. Why do I need to find more of me? More of me is a nightmare for her. I guarantee it.
Amen.
But if I'll take time, thank you, Steve, that was great. If I'll take time and I'll meditate on God, I'll get more of God in me. If I'll meditate on God and get his spirit thriving inside of me,
amen.
I'll have what the word says.
Amen.
Medical science is just thrilled right now about meditation. I was speaking just a little while ago, and it's in my notes. My health insurance through my employer, they sign us up for a thing called Mequilibrium. Mequilibrium is kind of like it's a meditation app. It'll tell you when to self-reflect, when to breathe, when to take a walk. Goodness. Clinton, it's time to meditate on how you could have done better today. Come on, really? I should have got some more in the Word. It's how I could have done better today. I should have got to hold some of them promises that God gave for me. Rather than, well, whatever that is. It just doesn't make sense. If you know you're the problem, you are. I want to make that perfectly clear. If you know you're the problem, which you are, how can reflecting on, because sometimes it's reflect on the problem and how you can fix it. Reflect on the problem and how you got there. No. Let's not do that. Let's look at the problem, say, you know what, God? This is what's going on right now. And then check this out. And then tell that problem, I'm a tither. I'm healed. I'm free. Because when you start working it that way, stop telling God how big the problem is, right? And tell the problem how big your God is. But you really can't get to that point until you spent some time pondering, muttering, speaking, getting after the things of God. Now I've got to get out of the passion because I've got to go to the Old Testament. Joshua 1:8. I just went New King James Version. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, or depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Better yet, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Good success. If we'll start focusing on the Word of God again in that manner, when there's a promise in there, put your name in it. If it doesn't make sense, put your name in it, put an I in there. Make it personal. God is a personal God, is He not? And when you'll do that, when you'll observe to do the things that are written in it, I'm going to observe the things that are written in the Word. And I'm looking at this, and I start thinking, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I'll meditate on it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Wait, what's written in it? You know what? Victory's written into this. This is Joshua, so they've escaped Egypt. God lit their way. They left Egypt rich. Rich. Busting at the seams, rich. I'll meditate on that. I want to do everything that's written in the book. Everything. Because if I do, God promises that it'll make my way prosperous and that I will have good success. Amen. You know what else is written in the book before this? And then also after it, this is about after it also. But that Enoch, right? Yeah. Enoch walked with God and was not. Whoo! There you go. Not have to taste death. Just be translated. Old Testament prophets, they used to get over so... And Brother Hagin talked about it, getting so far over into the Spirit. What was it? Elisha, open the young man's eyes that he may see. And that whole army of angels surrounded the camp. Woo! If y'all only knew... And those guys are old covenant guys. Yeah. Not even close to new covenant. Two men. Prophets of God. They had to wear an ephod. Y'all realize that the difference between the prophet of God who had to wear the ephod and the children of God that get to have the Holy Spirit inside of them? Amen. Y'all know the difference? Amen. There's a big difference there. Yes. We're the children of God. We're the children of God. Hallelujah. Whew. Proverbs 4:20. Also New King James. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. If you'll keep the Bible in front of you, if you'll keep those words tanked up in your heart, They are health to your flesh. The word has every single answer that you need. You're looking for healing in your body? The word has it. You have addiction issues? The word has freedom and victory in it. It's built in. God did that for you. He's like, hey, you know what? I forget who says it, but basic instructions before leaving earth, right? How many people all the time be like, I wish this baby came with an instruction manual, right? Well, it does. Pray over the baby. Pray at night. Now, married folk, y'all know that you can't pray in an earshot of your wife for her to do the dishes. You'll get in trouble. She might do the dishes, but wow. Don't do that. But you can pray things out. When you're sitting in that secret place, when it's just you and God, you're believing for a spouse that's going to treat you right. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you need to start believing for a spouse for your kids that's going to treat them right. Maybe you're praying for a family member who is lost. You can't walk up to somebody and be like, I prayed the devil out of you last night. It will not work. But you can go and make intercession for people. And pray. And you can witness to them. Water seed, plant seed. God will get the increase. But it starts with that secret time, that quiet time before God, that meditation. A picture of, in my opinion, a picture of biblical meditation is simply going into your room or into your... Who's got a man cave as a guy? Anybody got a man cave? Go into your man cave, go into your garage. Girls, ladies, if you have a she shed or a sewing room or the kitchen. You can go in the kitchen. I'm just joking. Pastor Ricky's like, okay, so no more Wednesdays for Clinton. No. But if y'all go there, not the kitchen, that was just a joke. But get into that secret place and just pour your heart out to God. It's hard. It is funny in the beginning. It's kind of, dare I say, a little uncomfortable. When you get on your knees and it's just you and you're talking to God. When I did OSL 1, my quiet time was at night. The kids were in bed. This is just Gabe and Isaac back in this time. Well, Ireland was born, but she was too small to remember this. But Gabriel, oh, Gabriel. This kid. So I was just getting after it. I think it was Gabe. I'm pretty sure it was Gabe. I was getting after it. Hands up, on my knees at the couch, praying in my loudest, the kids are asleep, spiritual language, and just I don't know if I was waving or what, but there I am just giving my all to God. And I was unashamed until my son came up and said, dude, what were you doing, Dad? And not that I was ashamed, because I mean, you shouldn't be ashamed for your kids to see you acting foolish before God. It's okay. But I was baby Christian, right? I've been Christian forever, for as long as I can remember. But like as far as like going after God, this is brand new to me. So when my son sees me just, I mean, it can be a little uncomfortable. Calls you out on it, but that's where we need to be. That time when I took OSL 1, that really was like, there was such a transformation in my life because I had rules I had to follow. I'm good with rules. You leave me to my own devices, things can go weird. But if you give me structure, I will stick with structure. I'm pretty good at sticking to structure. And so those that structure was, we had to pray 20 minutes a day, I think it was. And it had to be quiet, like alone prayer. You had daily Bible readings. You had the two services in the week, then one class, and then you listen to three teachings throughout the week. Your week was full of getting the word. So transformational. It made a huge difference. I heard more about my ministry going forward in those days than I had ever heard before. And at time, when I look back, I could say that those dedicated times during OSL were more structured, and I was more on top of it through those times than I am even today. And that's a little sad, right? But I just strive to do better because it helps me. I know that when I get into the Word and I spend time really digging into what the Scripture is saying, my life just gets better. When I spend, oh, wow, that's cloudy. It's okay. I'll go from here. But when, those have lotion in them. So sad. It's because I'm crazy, she said. That's messed up. Okay. Where was I talking about? Okay, so getting into the Word, spending time there with God, really meditating, growing every day. But it takes work, right? You have no idea how much wasted time you have in a day until you take OSL, right? Like, for real. Because you're only allowed the 1 hour of media, right? And so you use that. And it's Christian media, so you use that immediately, right? You're like, okay, you can't even watch a whole Christian movie. Like, no, it was 1 hour of secular media, and then they were sweet enough to enable us to watch as much Christian media as we wanted to. Or as long as it wasn't secular. So I became a fan of Food Network. But there was so much noise in our lives. I noticed that that's something that came out. Learning to meditate is removing yourself from there and really getting in to what God has for you. Psalm 119, 15 and 16. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. God is good. Meditate is mentioned so many times in the Bible. so many times. People, because of the secular movement, humanism, and things like that, because that is so prevalent in our culture and in the world today, people like, oh, meditate. Oh, you're one of those guru people, huh? Oh, you there's Eastern meditation, I guess is the best way to put that, which would be the meditation that you find in with yogis and in Hinduism and things like that. You have that Eastern meditation, which if we that's a whole other can of worms. If we really explored it, Hinduism is basically any other religion is just worship of demons. So when you're getting into these different yoga poses, so on and so forth, seeking your inner self and looking for your aura and to repair it and all these craziness, you're basically asking a demon, can you come fix me? But if we'll get into biblical, and I really can't call this Western meditation, because it's not. It's biblical meditation. It's getting into scripture. It's pondering and thinking and muttering the words of God. If the scriptures are God-breathed, profitable, right? What is that? Is that 2 Timothy 3:16, right? Second Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is biblical meditation. Getting into the Word, understanding the Word. And y'all know you can ask God to open your eyes to it. God will give you revelation of what the Word is saying. But it takes time. It can't be Bible roulette. That was how I began reading my Bible way back in the day. I had some cool tidbits. One time a Jehovah's Witness, this was when I was like, I think it was 18 or 19 years old. I've always had a good time with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They're missionary people. God doesn't let me talk to them anymore because I had too much of a good time. Because it was more of an argumentative thing. But one time I actually got challenged and I hurt in my spirit because I didn't have a proper answer, right? And it was, this lady said, well, what about all these people who've never heard the word, so on and so forth, this, that, and the other thing? Are they just sentenced to hell because they've never heard the word? And that challenged me. It really did. And God's answer to that, when I was reading my Bible that night, and I don't know the address, but it says that nobody lighteth a candle and put it under a bushel. But he puts it up on a lampstand so all that come in may see the light. How awesome is that? That came from spending time pondering. God, I need an answer to this. And oddly enough, in his divine wisdom and the luck of the draw that night, it wasn't the luck of the draw. It was the Holy Spirit leading me in my reading that night. And when I came across that scripture, it rose up in my spirit. I'm not hiding the word from anybody. I'm not keeping it to myself. That light, the light of the word, is put up on a candle post that anybody that enters in, they can see it. I've not hidden anything from anybody. All because I was spending time reading the scriptures. Now I say all that, and it's almost 8:15, it's almost 8:10. But some of us, we don't know where to go. Maybe you could Google it. You can rely on the Holy Spirit. You could call one of your pastors. But God, in His infinite knowledge, again, has made resources available to us that the fathers only wished they had. And by that, I'm going to bring this up. God's promises. This is not meditating on the word, but you can use this as a tool in your meditation. This is not a substitute for getting into the meat of the word. However, this book has helped in a lot of situations where when you're a brand new baby Christian and you don't know, you have an ailment. Something is making you sick. And you're believing God for healing, but you just don't know where to go. And so, contents. Jesus is your Savior, Lord, love, peace. The Bible is your what to do when you feel discouraged, worried, lonely, depressed, dissatisfied. Oh, depressed. Number 92. Go page 92. Depression is something that is rocking the nation. We're saying it's not here at all. Spirit Life Church does not have depression. And I want to say something. If you are depressed, it's not all right, but it's I understand. I've been there. Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." When thou passest, this is Isaiah 43:2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Psalm 35 says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." And you could put that just, Psalm 30, verse 5. And so you say, "For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Joy cometh in the morning. "This sadness may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning." Thank you, God, that you send your joy in the morning. And then you begin to mutter and you begin to ponder what God means by his joy will come in the morning. And if you've ever experienced just the smile of God on your face, and you can remember just for that instance, whether it was from when you raised your hand at an altar call, or to when you seen your first child cry or be born, whatever it was, and you can say that was true joy and that was the joy of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are with me. That you don't forsake me. You don't leave me. Thank you, God, that you guide me in green pastures. Thank you, Lord, that I get to rest next to still waters. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you that you paid the price. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And when you get into the Word and you start realizing those things, how God is, who God is, you can have all the joy. You can have all the peace. All the rest. God says that you are loved. You are heirs according to the promise. You're more than conquerors. You're the head and not the tail. You're the lender, not the borrower. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says that you are healed. God says that you are whole. God says that he will promise, like, prosper you. But you'll never ever realize the depth and the truth in that until you give yourself over completely and totally to spending time with God. Sundays and Wednesdays, guys, I thank you for being here. The Wednesday night crew, you know. Oh, wait, we're not going to tell. The people that are here on Sunday are cool too. Remember that. But y'all that have taken extra time, when you show up on a Sunday, when you show up for special meetings, that's getting it. But to get into to the deep place of God, it's not enough. It's just not. I saw transformation. I'm going to tell on Tom. He's here. I saw transformation in Tom like nothing you would ever see. A completely different man than who he was when before they started coming here. I won't get into it, but I'll tell you what. God took that guy, whoo, and changed him. But it came with time invested. It came with trusting in God. He didn't do it himself. Tom didn't change Tom. Reflection didn't change Tom. Self-discovery didn't change Tom. God discovery did. God time changed Tom. I don't know the Ellsworth story, but I know that it's an amazing story. There's so many of us here. If you just understood where we were and who we where we came from, it would knock your socks off. But it came with time invested. It came with meditation on the Word. And until we get that, it'll be a struggle. Because when you're filled up, that the song that we sang, This Is How I Fight My Battles. Y'all... Oh, those are empty papers. You fight your battles by being filled with the Word. It's your armor. Put it on. Spend time with God. I challenge you. If you don't have a set time, we all have calendars. Set some time. I'm serious. If you're like, well, I can't fit it on my calendar. Yeah, you can. I'm surprised in the mornings when I read, and there's times where I'm reading to read and get into the Word. There's times when I'm studying to get something from the Word deeper. But those times in the morning when I read, I get up 30-ish minutes sometimes before the family. And in 30 minutes, I can, if I'm just reading to read, I can get through two or three chapters. Some of the smaller books I can read completely. When you're studying for wisdom and you're laying over in Proverbs or Psalms for a little while, just hover there. Proverbs and Psalms are a great place to start when you're learning to meditate on the Word of God. So I challenge you to do that. Set yourself 15 minutes every day of Scripture time and give yourself another 10 or 15 minutes for prayer time. And this is God time, strictly. Paper Bible. You can have coffee in there. It's a good time to have coffee. But let's have some. Let's get to be that church that meditates so much on the presence of the Lord that we see miraculous things happen. That we start believing for the miraculous every single day. And watch God deliver. Signed and sealed. Let me pray with you guys really quick. Father God, I thank you for this time in your word, Lord God. Help us, Lord. Help us to spend more time in the throne room. Remind us, wake us up early. Give us that extra time before we go to bed. Whatever it is, Lord God, let us make time for you. Remind us to do so that we can build our faith, strengthen our belief, and correct our speaking. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
Amen.